Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. You know, with all the floods and everything that's been taking place, my wife told a joke. Now, my wife doesn't tell a whole lot of jokes, but she told one last Sunday about a guy in a little town, and there was a big flood. And this guy was a new newspaper reporter, and he was looking for a story. So it was something like out west. He got in a little dinghy, and he started rolling around town and stuff like that. He came upon this elderly lady sitting on her porch, and she was there, and he rode up to her, and he got out of his boat and sat down with her and told her he was looking for a story. She said, "Well, you know, lots of stories around there. The place is flooded, and, you know, you can write any." He said, "No," he said, "I want something specific." He said, "Something that's really gonna stand out," he said. As he was talking to her, he seen a hat come down the stream like this, and came around like that, and went back up, and came around, went back up several times like that. He said, "That's it." He said, "That's my story," he said, "that I've been looking for." He said, "You know, there's something special about that." She said, "No," she said, "there's nothing special about that." She said, "That's Elwood." He said, "Yesterday," he said, "come hell or high water, I'm going to mow the grass tomorrow," he said. Now, I know you shouldn't say hell probably in church, but Anne didn't say that out loud like that, but that's what she meant. And you can see the T-shirts that they've got written for the Calgary Stampede. The little children's one, they got "come eck or eye water" written on them. But Hebrews chapter 13, you'll have to forgive me. If you don't forgive me, you can't go to heaven. "Keep on loving each other, brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as you yourselves were being suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep yourselves free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God says, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?' Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for that promise that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we just pray that you would help us today to know, Lord, what you would want us to know from this passage of Scripture, Lord, but not only to know it, but, Lord, to put our faith into action as well, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, that you would reveal it through the power of your Holy Spirit today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, you know, several weeks ago, I went to Kingston, went in to take a driving test. Now, I'm not to that point where I got a letter from the MTO saying that I had to go or anything like that, but as my wife would say, in the change of life or the midlife crisis or whatever, I got a motorcycle, so I had to take one. I had to take a driving test on it. And as we were waiting, there was a bunch of us anyways, and some of them were a lot younger than I am, and the subject got around to cell phone and technology and things like that, and you know, they all had their smartphones and all that kind of stuff. And I took out mine, and I showed them mine. Well, they almost laughed me out of the place. I got one of those old flip phones that you can drop and do anything you want with it and put it in water and everything else. Still keeps working. Doesn't do much, only all I need it for is say hello and goodbye. And that's all I need it for. But if you're born, you know, between, like, as I'm looking around today, between 1930 and pre-1980, I guess, you know, we're survivors, you know, And no matter what some of the young people think, my son came out one time and he saw my old phone and he said, "Dad," he said, "you really need to get, you know, with the times." He said, "You need to get a good phone," he said, "and it can do everything for you. You know, you can put everything in it." And I said, "Yes, but I'm going to have to go to school 6 months to learn how to operate it. You know, it might not be that bad." But, you know, people of old, now there's only several people that this might not pertain to this morning that I can see because all the kids are out, but this is for everybody anyways. You know, we're survivors without a lot of these things. And you know why we're survivors? You look at us, and some of us were born to mothers who had smoked and drank right on up through pregnancy, and probably back then you could almost take a cigarette in the delivery room, and we survived all that, you know. And people, what they did, you know, you took aspirin, you ate blue cheese dressing and tuna from a can, and you didn't get tested for diabetes. And then after all that trauma, you know, you were born, and they took you home, they put you in the crib, they put you down on your belly, and you slept or did something anyway. And you were in a crib that had all kinds of colored paint on it, and that contained just about everything. And you chewed on that and everything else till you might have turned blue in the face, but you survived all that stuff. You survived all that stuff. We had no childproof lids on bottles back in those days. There were no locks on doors or cabinets. And when you rode your bike, you didn't have a helmet on your head, and that explains a lot why some people are like they are today. You know, infants would ride in cars, no car seats, no booster seats, no seat belts, no airbags, ball tires, and sometimes no brakes. You got there and you got back again. Riding in the back of a pickup truck on a warm day was a treat. No air conditioning. You just piled everybody in the back of the pickup truck, headed off to the lake or the pond or the creek or somewhere like that. We drank water from a garden hose, not a bottle. Betty gave me two this morning. She said, "I hope that sermon is not dry." No, she didn't say that. You shared a soft drink, a bottle of soft drink, with however many people were around, and nobody actually died from it, that I know of anyway. You ate cupcakes, everything laden with sugar, white bread, real butter, bacon, drank Kool-Aid, most of it was sugar, and we weren't overweight because you were outside playing and working and things like that. You'd leave home in the morning, you'd be gone all day long, you'd play as long as you could until dark. Nobody ever worried about you or wondered where you were, and you were all okay. We'd spend hours building go-karts and things, and then you'd find the steepest hill around, you'd ride down it, only to find out you forgot all about the brakes. So there'd be some bushes or a tree or a fence or something at the bottom of the hill that'd stop you. And eventually you figured out that we need to put some brakes on it as well. We didn't have PlayStations, Nintendo, Xbox, no video games, no 150 channels on TV, no DVDs, no surround sound, no cell phones, no personal computers, no internet, no chat rooms. We had friends, went outside and found them and played with them. Yeah, fell out of trees. How many of you ever fell out of a tree? Broke a few bones. And there was no lawsuits because your tree was in your own yard and some kid come in and climbed it. What are you doing with that tree in your yard anyways? You know, you'd get a spanking. And if you were really bad, you'd have to go out and cut the switch yourself and bring it in. And you hope that the first time he hit you, it broke. You were given BB guns for your 10th birthday. You made up games with sticks and balls and rocks and everything else. And despite the fact that everybody said you're going to poke your eye out with that, not many people lost their eyes over it either. We rode our bikes or walked to our friend's house. You knocked on the door or rang the bell or just opened the door and walked right in. Sat down, talked to them, see what's going on, and you went and did it. Little League had tryouts back in those days. And despite the fact that not everybody made the team, they learned to deal with disappointment. Fact of life, you know. Instead of our parents bailing us out if we got in trouble with the law, we just hoped they didn't, because we'd get worse from our parents than we did from the law. You know, the generations of the past has proved to be great for a lot of people, you know. The past 50 to 80 years has seen like some marvelous, marvelous inventions, you know. And if you're born between, you know, 1930 or even going back to the 20s sometimes, you're something special, let me tell you. Something special. A lot has changed in the days since then. Not all of it has been good. Not all of it has been good. A lot of it has been a marvelous, marvelous inventions. But not all of it has. But one thing that's remained constant in an ever-changing world is Jesus Christ. Amen. Is Jesus Christ. And today, when everything just seems to be out of control, some face this world with fears, and others face it with doubts and things about the future. But in the midst of everything, God's word rings out with the message that I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last, he which is and which was and which is to come. He is the Almighty God. In a world sometimes that just seems to be out of control, God wants us to know that he is in control. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God that changes not. The Word of God always has been and always will be, and have the answers to each pressing situation and circumstance that comes our way in life. Now, I want to tell you this morning that some things that God has taken care of us, taken care for us, that we need not worry about it, because he has it all in control. And we need not worry about our yesterdays. Some people find it very hard to get past their yesterday and the things that they've done in years gone by, and they just can't seem to get past it. And it's just like that whole ball and chain that keeps dragging them down. But God has taken care of our yesterdays. You know, if we were to stop and think this morning, and if we were to testify and start telling about all the goodness of God and what he's done for us, I dare say that we would be here a long time today if we just talked about all the good things that God did for us in yesteryear. Our yesterdays have been taken care of. Our sins and our faults and failures, if we've confessed them to the Lord, he's promised that he has taken those sins and he's cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. And you know, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for the whole wide world. Then it's a little thing for an individual when they come to Christ. They're not only covered, but they're wiped out. The Word of God tells us that they're washed white as snow. I don't know how that happens, but I believe it by faith. The good news is that the God of yesterday has everything under control. You don't have to let the whole sins of your life plague you, and because the Bible tells us that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And it tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, you can't undo yesterday. So don't let your yesterday undo you. You can't do anything about that. That's water under the bridge. Sometimes you just need to burn that old bridge. Old country song, burning bridges behind me. It's too late to turn back now. My past comes up sometimes, but I don't let my past bother me. The old is gone, the new has come. You know, the devil sometimes, he'll accuse us of things, and he'll bring that to our remembrance of something that we did in the past. But you know, if your sins are forgiven and you know it, then you're going to a place that's prepared for me, for you. Like Abraham of old, he didn't head towards the promise because he was perfect. He headed towards the promised future because he was sure of it. We don't face the future because we are confident in the flesh. We face the future because we have this treasure in earthen vessels that Christ has come to live in us and take up residence. And the last time I checked, the number of people that ever walked this life perfectly without sin was only one, and that's Jesus Christ. Our sins of the past are covered. I've traded my shackles for a glorious crown. I'm free. Praise the Lord. Free at last. You know, the God that I serve is not just a God of old, but he is a God of the present today. God can take care of everything for us today. You know, he took a lot of people might say, well, he took care of some really big issues for me back years ago. But I'm not so sure of the God today if he is able to do it. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. The Bible tells us Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today is a special day because, you know, today is a day of brand new opportunities. Today you're going to get an opportunity maybe to do something that you didn't have yesterday, that you didn't have last week. And God has a plan for each and every person in this world. And this day could be the best day of the rest of your life. Make a count for God today. Pray and worship and praise the Lord, and share with people Jesus Christ that you meet, and it'll make a difference in your life. You know, you can't undo your past. You can't undo your past, and you got to wait until tomorrow comes. But you can do something today. Today you can do something. We have this moment. Bill and Gloria Gaither, I believe, wrote the song. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come. But we have this moment today. I did a funeral for a friend of mine, Peter Landry. He was diagnosed 11 months ago. A retired RCMP officer in perfect shape. And he just turned 65 a little while ago. And less than a year ago, he was diagnosed with ALS. And he passed away on Canada Day. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. But you know, if you know who holds tomorrow, if you know who holds tomorrow, that makes all the difference. Today might be the day that you get a breakthrough. As you surrender to that still small voice that spoke thousands of years ago and is still speaking today. You know, we can get caught up sometimes, and we worry and we fret about everything, and you know, the stuff that's going on in Ottawa and people, you know, charging for. Brother, it'd be great if you could charge for the same job over and over and over and over again. You'd only do one little job a year, and then you could collect all that money, you know, like some of the people in Ottawa, you know. And so only little small stuff like $90,000 and $70,000, stuff like that. Oh, that little bit don't matter, does it? Till they're caught. And then somebody else has got to write a check, and we don't know whose account that came from. Hello? That's another message for another time. Those people. One of the best things I can say to you today, my friends, is this. Don't let something slip into your tomorrow that you can take care of today. Don't let something slide into your tomorrow that you can take care of today. Today, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify God. Today, the Bible tells us, is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be a little bit too late. Today. An atheist one time was walking through the woods. Now, I don't believe there's such thing as an atheist, but they say, you know, people call themselves atheists. And as he was walking through the woods, he was looking at the trees. What majestic trees. What powerful rivers he was walking along by. What beautiful animals, he said to himself. And as he was walking along, he heard a rustling in the trees. He looks, and there's a 7-foot grizzly coming towards him. And so he takes off up the path as far as he can go. Looks over his shoulder, and the bear is gaining on him. And he takes off even faster. Finally, he trips and falls down. He rolls over a couple of times before he could get up. The bear's got one paw on him like that, and the other Ray's going to give him a swat. And he cries out, "Oh, my God." And there's a voice that answers, "Yes." God's got a deep voice, I believe. And the voice says, "You called, you actually tell me that you believe in God and not that all this was created. Can I count you as one of my believers today?" And the atheist stops and thinks, and he says, "Well, it'd be a bit hypocritical for me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," God says. And everything sort of resumed again, and the bear let him go with the left paw, brought the two paws together, and says, "Lord, for what I'm about to receive, may I be truly thankful." Oh, yeah. God has a way. God has a way. God has a way. You know, the Bible tells us that if we don't shout his name and praise his name, that even the rocks will cry out. So if God can get the rocks to cry out, I'm sure he can get a grizzly bear to do his work for him as well. Amen. Now today, you know, you might have all your yesterdays under control. And you might think that everything is going good for me, and today is a good day, and all that's fallen in place. But I'm not sure about tomorrow. I'm not sure what tomorrow holds for me in this world. When you look at situations around the world today, and I mean, things surely aren't getting much better today. But you know, God has taken care of things forever for the child of God. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, the whole song says. But you know, the God of yesterday is still the God of today, and he's the God of tomorrow. Jeremiah said, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness." You know, a child of God, the future looks brighter than the past, let me tell you. Looks brighter than the future, because every day we're getting a little closer to that place that he's gone to prepare for us. That's something that we can rejoice in. That one day we're going to that place. It's a perfect place. And he hasn't left anything out. The child of God is something that is only available through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is eternal life. There may be some things, you know, that will take us by surprise, but there's nothing that takes God by surprise. There's nothing that takes God by surprise. You know, when you're doing some doing work, there's always those last minute details that you got to do. All those last minute touch up things, and a little bit of paint there, and a little bit of caulking there, Brother Ron, and a little bit of mud to fill in somewhere else. All those last minute things that you got to do. You know, there's no last minute things for God to do. When He calls you, that place is going to be ready. It's a perfect place. God has a plan for our lives, you know. And He's clearing that plan, He's making that plan available and revealing it to us as we just let our light shine for Him, you know. The thoughts that God has for our life are good thoughts. His will is that we'll go over, not under. That we'll go over and not under. In Him, you know, we move and have our being. In Him, through all things, consists. Jesus said it this way. He said, He talked about not even one sparrow falls to the ground without His knowledge of it. But how much more valuable are we than 1,000 sparrows? He'll take care of you in the future. A person, you know, outside of Jesus Christ only just exists. Real life is found in the Creator of life. He knows what life is all about. How many of you know some good things don't last too long? You know, I find it strange that I've got to eat 3 or 4 times a day. That, you know, I get up in the morning and I have a bowl of oatmeal, and by 10 o'clock I've got to have something else. I got to have a little snack. And then noon I got to have something else. And 3 o'clock, if there's something left in my lunchbox, maybe an apple, I'll have another little snack. And then supper time comes. And, you know, I like to eat. And then before bedtime, I got to have another little snack. It just don't last. It just don't last, those meals. You know, good clothes sometimes. You get that perfect t-shirt or that perfect pair of jeans. Boy, they just fit so good. After a while, they're not so comfortable, but that's another issue there. You got to push back sometimes. And old trucks and cars and things like that, you know. They just seem not to last. But I'm glad that my Lord and Savior is lasting. Is lasting. He's able to meet every need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Not to mention the human body. Boy, I tell you, that's another story, isn't it? I wish I were young again. George Burns says, I wish I were 18 again. But you know, we can't go back and change that. Despite all whatever we use and modern technologies, we're still going to grow old. But you know, growing old with the Lord is a great thing to do. You know, I'm not looking forward to a lot of things that this life has to offer. But I'm looking forward to the day when I'm going to meet my Lord and Savior. Fanny Crosby wrote the song. She was asked one time, because a lot of her songs, beautiful, beautiful songs, if you come to church and you only sing a Fanny Crosby hymn, you'll be blessed, I'm sure. And somebody asked her one time, she said, they said, how will you, an old blind black lady, know the Savior? And she went home that night. She sat down, she wrote, I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. When we see our Savior, we've seen pictures depicting things, but when we see our Savior face to face and we see those wounds that He did for us, He did it for us so that we can face tomorrow, so that we can face tomorrow. You know, God has us in mind. He has the very best in mind for His children. Life is full of promises and meanings and things. But the life of Christ is so much more. He came so that we could have life and have life more abundantly.